joyride from, oh no, he's hot, by Steely Deely Dan, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of Andrew Hussey. You were never really a party person. Truth be told, you still aren't. If it weren't John's 21st birthday party, you'd be back in your workshop, probably committing yourself to another all-nighter. This prospect remains a tempting alternative. Hey, Dirk! Glad he could make it! John's face splits into a huge, goofy grin as he claps you on the shoulder with a kind of clueless strength that makes you wince a little. You force a smile. Happy birthday, John. He takes your gift, a metal box that unfolds into a robotic magician's assistant, with ease, and starts to walk into the depths of his house, gesturing for you to follow him. The rock music floating through the halls is thankfully not too loud, and the chatter of the party buzzes over all the other noise. The lights are dim, and the house feels cozy. When John sets your gift onto a table in the living room, heads turn from the couches and greetings spill out from everyone. Dave gives you a patented cool guy head nod from where he sits curled into Jade's side. Callie has two plates bursting with cake in her hands when she gives you a beaming smile. And next to her, of course, is Roxy. You look away quickly and head to the snack table. Someone's already there.
Haven't smelled you in a while.
Terezi addresses you with a poke to the arm. Hello, Terezi. You scan the table and spot all varieties of chips, sodas, and pizza. Does John have anything orange-flavored? The troll sniffs around for a second and swipes up a neon orange bottle of Fanta from a secluded corner of the table before handing it to you.
This smells right to me, she offers.
You take it, twist it open with a pop, and throw back a swig.
Ugh, it tastes off. Shame.
It looks like Terezi's about to say something to you afterwards, but when you take another hefty sip, she just shrugs and grabs a Cherry Coke Zero for herself before walking away to John's side. The doorbell sounds again, dragging John and his short and pointy entourage away from the crowd, and you slip into the main part of the living room where everyone else is. You decide to sit by Carcat on the couch opposite of Dave and Jade, and the troll grunts something that is probably a hello as he scoots to the side. With nothing to do, you continue to sip from your drink, a little distracted by the aftertaste. John returns with Jake in tow, and then everyone is officially gathered. With a flourish, John produces a little shot glass full of dark liquor and grins.
First drink, he announces dramatically.
Legally,
Jade mumbles, and everyone laughs as John throws the shot back. The laughter only gets louder when he still hacks and coughs at the burn. Soon enough, though, the Ghostbusters theme starts to play through the TV speakers as John and Dave fiddle with the settings and fight over the remote. Rose dims the lights, and Roxy summons enough popcorn to feed a small army as the movie begins.
The movie is a lot funnier
than you remember it being. You find yourself struggling to hold your poker face at some of the jokes, which is odd, but the room is warm and your friends are laughing loudly. It's not a bad feeling. In fact, you feel pretty great. It's like the stress of the day is somewhere distant and unconcerning, and you wonder if you should start coming to events like this more often, if they're all this nice. You toy with your drink's empty bottle, long since drained of every drop, and the rough edges of the cap, and excellent texture on your knuckles. When the movie ends and the lights come back on, your eyes recoiling from the shock, you decide to get up and throw it away.
Whoa.
Standing up makes you alarmingly dizzy, and you almost fall back and into Carcat's lap, catching yourself on the arm of the couch at the last second. Sorry. You apologize, and now you're getting worried because Carcat doesn't even throw you a sharp remark. He just snorts. His eyes are a little deeper orange than usual. You stumble into the kitchen, which is still too bright even with your shades, and for the first time, you take a good long look at the empty bottle in your hands. The label is flimsy and colorful, but... Fanto, you whisper, completely and utterly baffled. What in the off-brand? And then you see it. The little line of text below the misspelled name that reads... 25 milligrams THC. Immediately your good mood drops into something you will resolutely not label as alarm. No, this is fine. You are not compromised. You are in control, and you're just going to slip out the door and go home, and no one will even notice. You can sleep this off. People do all the time. Who the hell brought these sodas?
You're doing okay there, D-Stry?
Roxy asks, voice low from the kitchen doorway. You look up. Everything feels fuzzy, and you can feel your own heartbeat. Is it too fast? It feels too fast. That's probably not good.
With extraordinary care, you dropped the bottle into the recycling bin and turned to face him properly. Roxy, I'm high. Right now.
Yeah, I figured almost everyone else is, too, he points out.
I did not intend to get high, you grit out. Roxy's entire demeanor changes. Shit, he hisses, and now he's in front of you, peering through your shade, still keeping the eyes.
I wondered why you have one of those sodas. I thought it was weird. How do you... Are you good?
I'm fine. I'm going home to sleep it off, you reassure him. And your attempt to brush past him is foiled when he reaches out and grabs you by the arm. His hand is so warm.
Like hell you're flying home like this, he mutters a curse. I'm going to make sure you get home safe, Give me a sec to tell Callie.
As soon as he leaves, you slip out of the kitchen and towards the front door. You don't need a babysitter. You just barely close the door behind you when it yanks open and Rox lets out an exasperated sigh before he scoops you up like you weigh nothing. There's a horrible moment of dizziness that accompanies the motion, and then you're airborne, being held bridal style. What? You manage. Head spinning. You've got your arms around his neck. When did that happen? He smells nice. Roxy rolls his eyes.
I should have known you'd try to fly your dumb ass home without me, Zoe says, as the two of you make your way across the glittering night sky.
Time is hard to judge in this state of mind, but it's probably only a few minutes until you feel Roxy start to descend. Moments later, you feel his feet contact the balcony that leads into your bedroom, and you open your eyes. When did you close them? You fumble with your phone for a second, and you hear the door unlock, and then you're being laid down onto your bed very, very gently. You hum, the texture of a blanket against your cheek distracting. You sit up. Sorry to make you leave early, too. I was having a decent time until I realized I was high. At that, Roxy turns from where he'd stepped back onto the balcony to face you again. He steps back inside and closes the door.
What, like it until it hit?
No, when I saw the bottle. You clarify. Roxy studies you.
So you liked being high, but it didn't feel bad until you knew it was because you were high.
You roll the question around in your head for a second. It feels blessedly more quiet in there than normal.
Yes,
you eventually decide. He stares at you, so you elaborate. I did not intend on becoming compromised, you reiterate, setting your shades on your nightstand so you can rub your eyes.
Okay.
Roxy comes over and sits down in the middle of the bed next to you.
So you don't like the fact that you're compromised in some way, but the sensation is not, in and of itself, unpleasant.
This sounds accurate. Roxy sighs and summons the thick, fluffy blanket out of the void.
You never let yourself just feel shit, you know that?
He shoves the blanket into your chest.
I mean that literally as well. Try that.
The blanket is exquisite. Your fingers dig into its plush material and it feels like you're touching it in high definition. Speechless, you spend a good 2 minutes just kneading it with both hands and you probably look like an idiot. But it's so goddamn soft.
Good.
Roxy's voice is smug. You'd probably be ticked off if the blanket weren't singing to you its siren song. You nod. He summons a mass of tiny magnetic marbles and hands it to you. They slide around as you squeeze them, and the noise they make when they rub against each other scratches something in your brain. This is nice, you blurt out. He smiles and reaches over, messes up your hair with a giggle.
See, just ride it out. You might like it.
The hand in your hair scratches gently against your scalp, and the sensation is so good you let out a moan. A real moan. And Roxy's hand stills. Do that again. You plead, and he does. A little harder than the first time. Fuck, it's divine. Your body's starting to react, and it's going to become difficult to hide if he continues. Your heightened sense of touch, making Roxy's contact with you feel like pure pleasure. When his hand draws away, you whine. Don't stop, you complain.
Dirk, you are high as a kite right now,
Roxy states matter of fact.
I'm not going to take advantage of you. I know you're enjoying this.
He flexes his hand in a scratching motion. A little too much for me to keep going when you're high. You look down and yes, you're half-masked already. Everything feels tingly and you're warm all over and you want. So you toss the lump of magnets off of the bed and rub your hands over Roxy's cheeks. His skin is so alive. The friction of your palms on his face, a feeling you want to bottle and store in your fridge for later. I never initiate. You start. I never do. Not because I don't want to. I don't deserve it, but I want you. Your voice lowers into a husky register. All the goddamn time. And right now, I just want to feel good. Even if I don't deserve it, I want to touch you before I lose my nerve. Please, Roxy. We're alone. I just want to let go. I'm always too... You make a vague gesture. To say it, but I want it. Please. He's silent for a second. And your hands have come to a rest on his shoulders. His eyes study yours again, calculating something, and then he speaks. Privet, he orders. What? Privet, you want it? Take it. He spreads his arms. You're in charge. You say you want this? Don't make me do it. He's challenging you. The part of you that keeps an airtight lid on whatever hang-ups you have about your own needs is clamoring for you to stop making a nuisance of yourself, but that part of you feels just as fuzzy as the rest of the world. And you never stopped wanting. So, for once in your life, you allow yourself this indulgence. You kiss him. Your lips slide over his, and it feels like it's something new. The sensation heightens to the nth degree. Fuck. And when he opens his mouth to return the kiss, you grab the back of his head and smash your faces together. It's inelegant and hasty and bad. But you need this like you need air. Leaning your body weight into his, you push him down and against the bed until you're sprawled on top of him, making out with him all the while, your legs astride his hips, his tongue touches yours, and you groan into his mouth. He's gripping your hips with it rests atop his groin, his warm hands sliding under your shirt, and you sit up just long enough to tear the offending piece of clothing up and off of your body. Your chest heaves, a flush running through it down from your neck. Get a strap on, you command, breathless. I want to ride you. Roxy grins, eyes wild. In an instant, he's holding a harness and dildo. You maneuver yourself off of him so he can put the harness on, and while he does that, you rid yourself of your pants and boxers. When you turn yourself around on the bed afterwards, you see him lying back down, naked under the harness, stroking the dildo with a lubed hand. He tosses you the bottle. You grunt out a thanks and crawl back on top of him, raising yourself onto your knees over his hips. You apply some of the lube onto your fingers and lower them underneath you to graze against your rim. The slick feeling is amplified tenfold. You bite your lip and push the first finger in slowly as you meet Roxy's gaze with your own. Fuck, yes, you can't help but gasp out. Your finger sinks in another inch. When you start to thrust in and out, your dick knocks against the dildo, the slight friction sparking an urgent need. You add another finger. Roxy's hands slide up your thighs as you stretch yourself open, and they're like hot brands into your skin. And you want to skip any further preparation because you need his cock now. But you're still rational enough to know this would be a bad idea. So you add a third finger and work faster, the pulse of your own dick becoming a throb. You think you're ready? Roxy gives your erection a long, slow stroke, and you whimper and nod. And remove your fingers, even though the emptiness aches. You line yourself up with a dildo. Shit, it's bigger than last time. Not by much, but by enough you can definitely notice as each inch of it slides into you. Fuck, shit. You pant. And you're biting your lip hard enough for it to bleed now. Feeling a fullness is incredible. It's everything, and the moan you make when Roxy bottoms out is so long and loud. that you slap your clean hand against your mouth. Roxy sits up and wrenches your hand away.
You want to let go? Then let go. You can't handle that, we stop.
A flare of defiance rises within you, so you push him down again with two hands to his chest and fucking ride him. You pull yourself up and snap your hips back down, and the solid length of the dildo presses directly into your prostate. Oh my God, you blurt out around a moan. It's embarrassing how vocal you're being, but everything feels so good that it's getting harder and harder to care.
Bet you can get harder than that, Roxy taunts, and the next time you push down, he thrusts his hips up and into you with force. You scream, Roxy!
It's so intense. Your hands are gripping at his pectorals and squeezing with each thrust, your head thrown back as you rut like you're a bitch in heat. He's practically bouncing you on top of him at this point, your cock leaving a wet patch on his stomach with how much you're leaking. You're close, and it feels like you're close, so you plant one hand at the center of his chest and slip the other between your legs to stroke yourself. You time each pump to the rate that you're riding Roxy's strap, and the synchronicity makes you gasp.
Roxy, please, I'll come.
Without a word, he grabs your hips even tighter and speeds up his thrusts, huffing out breaths around a satisfied little grin, and it's so good, so you pump your cock harder to match the pace you're hurtling towards orgasm at mock speed.
Fuck, okay.
Your voice breaks and dissolves in little wordless cries as your dick spurts white all over Roxy's stomach and chest. Your vision blurs for a second. And little spots dance across your field of view as you come. Roxy's thrust and slowing to a stop under you. You slump over. Catch yourself with both hands on either side of Roxy's face. He pulls out of you with great care. And snags his shirt from the other side of the bed to mop up the straps you made on his chin. Before tossing it away again and pulling you down into his chest. Your face, burning hot and bright red, presses into his pecs, their great pillows. You feel better? Roxy murmurs into your hair.
Uh-huh.
You yawn. He snorts. With one hand, he undoes the harness and wiggles his way out of it, the other reaching for the blanket he'd summoned earlier. You close your eyes. The fluffy texture of the cloth caresses your naked form where it's wrapped around Roxy's own. You let yourself drift off easily, sleep coming to claim you as gently as a breath. It's a nice feeling.
If you liked this story, and I know you did, and you would like to read more like it, and I know you would, visit the AO3 page of Steely Dealy Dan. I'll be waiting. The music is Spill the Tea, composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.